Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
welcome.
My point, well, is this Matt Hamilton?
Am I not allowed to know the word filibustering?
I just didn't see that coming, that's all.
Well, good, I want to keep you on your toes.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
You remember the moments from that magical march in 2015, Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Relive it all with Made 'Em Believe. On June 26th, join Frank, Sam Decker, and Coach Bo Ryan for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary. Tickets are now on sale at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Made 'Em Believe, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We're live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. Primetime War Shine behind the glass. We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, how are you doing this afternoon?
UWHoops2015.com. I do that read as well, Molly. I think we need to edit it, though, because I always they ran to the championship game, right? Unless I'm misremembering it, they did not, in fact, win.
Yes, they ran to the championship game. I guess I should edit that. Yes.
Well, no, I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing the guy who wrote that, and I know who that is, and we love him. But I wish, and had Coach K not influenced the officials, maybe we would be celebrating the 2015 National Championship. I just wanted to get a shot.
Well, hear all those stories at UW Hoops.
Facts don't matter anymore. Just say what you want.
That's also true, especially on Facebook. There is... I don't know if you guys have noticed this, and I'm not getting political at all. It is Packers-related, actually. There is so much garbage that is being, here's what I don't get. I don't understand people that have nothing better to do than make up stuff. There was one, I actually screenshotted it, that, Matt LaFleur and his wife found a baby on the side of the road, and they have adopted it. The Packers are hiring Clay Matthews as their new pass rush specialist. What are these people? Do they not have jobs? Do they not have anything better to do than to make up ridiculous things and see how many people on Facebook are convinced that they're true? Is this a thing?
I don't know, man. One of the best decisions I made is I took Facebook, the app, off my phone. I've deactivated Instagram. I deactivated my TikTok. Twitter's just around for work. And honestly, I've never been happier. And I know you've thinned it out too, but at this point, I check in on Facebook once a week. And I literally just check to make sure there's not some random notification or message that I should check in on. And probably next step is to deactivate my Facebook. But yeah, I don't understand people. There was stuff with the Giannis. And Will, we can get your reaction on Giannis and John Halliburton. But there were stuff on social media trying to spin and editing the video where it made it look like Giannis was the instigator. And why would you do that in the John Halliburton Giannis situation? What's in it for you to just cause complete confusion and chaos online? But Will, my take on the Giannis situation with John Halliburton, and I love your thoughts on it, is that basically Giannis's reaction. One, showed so much growth from the 19-year-old or 18-year-old hot-headed kid when he got here, because he got in a few on-the-court things when he played.
Yeah,
and then he ended now, and this maybe is the end of his Bucks career, maybe not, but he, in that scenario, was the growing up in that scenario, and it was a nice full-circle moment, because he honestly probably single-handedly nipped in the bud a Malice at the Palace type situation, because if Tyrese Halliburton sees his dad getting pushed without seeing what happened ahead of time, and Pacers players see that, all hell breaks loose in Indiana, in Indianapolis. And so, I mean, Giannis did more than we even realize, I think.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think you nailed it. It could have gotten really, really, really ugly had he responded the way, quite frankly, he would have been justified in responding, right? So I thought that was great. I don't understand... And I thought he was really eloquent talking after the game, answering Eric Dame's question. And by the way, that's exactly why doing this job and building a rapport with somebody matters, because I thought Eric framed it in a way that really that gave him the floor, but kind of gave him a little bit of a runway to get into what he said. And I love the fact that he talked about how we've kind of become this world where instead of celebrating your own victory, it's talking, you know what, to the whoever you beat. And I don't get it. I don't like it. I thought he was fantastic. He rambled a little bit, but hey, who among us doesn't? I know somebody who has that problem. So I thought he was really good. But again, I just don't, I saw then John Halliburton did an interview with one of the local Milwaukee TV stations, mm-hmm. via like Zoom. And I'm like, dude, just own it and move on. Like, I definitely don't need to, you could say no, by the way, right? If a TV station calls, you say, you know what? I'm embarrassed. I put my son in a bad spot. I appreciate you asking, but I'm not gonna give further fuel. And of course, he couldn't do that, right? He had to do the interview. So I do think what you said about Giannis's growth is a really important thing. Now, in fairness, I also disagreed with him a couple years ago when he responded to Eric Name's question about failure and a failure of a season. Was that two playoff years ago? Because he missed all that time last year with the injury, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I firmly believe in failure. We have all failed, and let's not come up with a different euphemism for it. I always hate that saying, you're either winning or you're learning. No, you're losing. Now you're learning from the losing, but you're still losing. You did not have more points at the end of the contest. But so much comes from failure. Like, I just think you learn so much. And the Packers have been talking about this. I'm working on a story about it. Goody talking about how they try to measure also guys that have been through adversity and come out the other side. I really do believe in that. And maybe that makes me, a little too touchy-feely, but people that face something down, beat it back, and then succeed in spite of it, I just think they're made differently, and there's real value in that.
Jason, it was announced earlier today that the Packers are exercising the fifth-year option for Devontae Wyatt, but they are not for Quay Walker. What does this mean for his future in Green Bay?
Yeah, well, first of all, have we exercised our fifth-year option on Matt Hamilton?
We got a little more time, right? I think we got 13 more minutes.
We're still thinking.
Yeah. We'll see what kind of question he asked today.
Yeah, that's very fair. But he's got great hair. I think it can mean one of two things. And I don't want to say they're lying, because I don't think they are, but I think we have to at least acknowledge the possibility of this. One is that it's exactly what the talk is that, the number for a middle linebacker is way too high, because that the calculation also includes edge rushers, and so that drives it up. So $14.7 million for 2026 puts him on par. I think it puts him as the sixth highest paid inside linebacker in the league. And I think he's really improved, but I don't think he's the sixth best guy in the entire league. So they want to get a long-term deal. He gets that type of money, but it's spread out over multiple years as opposed to guaranteeing it for 2026. The other possibility, and they're certainly not going to, want to spin it in this direction, is they're still not sure how good he is. Like, there was no, we want to get something done long-term with Dayton Jones, or we want to get something done long-term with Demarius Randall. Mm-hmm. Like, when they don't pick up fifth-year options, usually it's because the guy hadn't performed well enough. Like, Eric Stokes, you try to spin it as, well, he's had these injury issues these last 2 years, but if he has a 2024 season like we hope he can, we'd be interested in re-signing him. They're just keeping their options open on Quay. But if they can get, if they do something long-term with him before training camp, if he gets an extension that guarantees him 20-some million up front or maybe more, then I will firmly believe it and say, okay, they were men of their word. That's exactly what they wanted to do, and that's what they did. I think it's just important to always have a little bit of a skeptical eye about that, because the bottom line is they could have exercised the fifth-year option and then still signed him to an extension and replaced it. And obviously they didn't do that.
Jason, what other Packers are currently looking for that fifth-year option right now?
So this came into, for those that don't understand it, so this came into being with the 2011 collective bargaining agreement. And I know process stories are not very interesting, but I'll try and make it as interesting as possible. So basically, every first-round draft pick now signs a four-year contract, and the team has a fifth-year option for them. So for this year, there were two guys because they had two first-round picks in 2022. Next year, it'll be their 2023 first-round pick that they'll be deciding on May 1st, 2026, and that'll be Lucas Van Ness. Now, if you were guessing right now, would you say that you would pick up his fifth-year option after what we've seen the first 2 years?
I would say no.
Right?
Yeah.
In Jair's case, it was a no-brainer, and then they signed him to an extension, right? HaHa Clinton Dix's case, they picked it up, and then midway through the season after they picked it up, they traded him to Washington and decided that maybe we're not so fond of him and we're going to move on from him at the trade deadline. So it guarantees that salary for that year, but beyond that, it doesn't do much of anything. So, next year it'll be Van Ness. The year after that, it'll obviously be Jordan Morgan. But if you look back on their history, they didn't do it with Jordan Love. They did this sort of half measure deal with him. They didn't do it with Dayton Jones. They didn't do it with Nick Perry. They did it with HaHa Clinton Dix. They didn't even keep Damaris Randall long enough to do it. They did it with Kenny Clark. They didn't have a first-round pick in 17. They did it with Jair. They did it with both of their first-round picks in 19, even though I think a lot of us thought that they shouldn't have done it with Darnell Savage. And now they've obviously made their choices on these two guys.
Man, you learn something new every day. I thought all rookies had a fifth-year option, or all people drafted had a fifth-year option on their contract.
No, so all the other rounds get four-year deals, and then they are free agents thereafter. It's only the first rounders that
you just
that have the
full
fifth-year
of knowledge.
Option.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jason. We were out of time.
You're welcome.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank
great.
You, Jason.
Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde. That was Jason Wilde. Go be a winner. Go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Millions of dollars won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. This is Jim, Matt, and I, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening live from St. John's, Newfoundland. The Newfies love Jim, Matt, and Molly. 100.5 ESPN Madison.